Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of People at Work. I'm Faye, Jostle's content marketing strategist. People at Work is a podcast created by Jostle, a tech company based in Vancouver, Canada. Not only are we the creators of an employee success platform, but we've spent the past decade finding out how to improve people's experience and days at work. Building trust and fostering growth in your direct reports fall under the responsibility of any leader. Yes, it's a challenging job to master. So let's hear from these experts on how to hone your leadership skills and support the emotional wellness of your employees. In today's episode, we revisit our conversations about leadership with industry professionals, some of whom are founders, CEOs, and consultants. Listen to learn more about the best of leaders and their strategies. Let's get to it. To start us off, we chatted with Anthony Vaughn, founder of the E1B2 Collective, about why high performance demands high care.
When I think of a high performance culture, the very first thing that I think about is putting, and I don't mean this in a cheesy way, but I mean this practically, putting employees first when it comes to understanding how they view the organization, understanding how they view their role in the organization, and really understanding that at a broad level and diving deep into how they execute tasks, what their desires are around decision-making bandwidth, what does the communication structures and styles look like across teams, and making sure that those systems and those functions are created from around their point of view and not the organization pushing down, this is how we communicate, this is how we make decisions, kind of making it a co-creating moment. And then the last part, empathy, being direct, being very candid and honest with each other in a way that you have to understand what that looks like. Because I think when you look at a team, I'll tell you what I did for me, you know, Jessica, for example, my co-founder and beyond resume, our communication styles, my version of being direct and honest and patient with her or collaborating with her looks very different than it does with Ashley, who's my head of growth. And so I think it's important for high performing teams to understand those complexities and those differences and those nuances. But that's kind of where I start. When I say employees first, business second, I mean it at a very literal level. But what I really mean when I say it, I believe it's the responsibility of a CEO, a CFO, a CTO, a COO, a head of a department, marketing, finance, whatever the case is going to be, and then the supervisors and the managers within. I believe it's their responsibility to understand how to facilitate and extract things like a core 18 out of a human being. I believe more than making sure they're doing their tasks correctly, more than being a knowledge, expertise when it comes to, again, finance or engineering or whatever it is you do, I believe the number one skill of a manager or a leader is being able to facilitate, create psychological safety, and create a safe place. That is the bread and butter of that. Now, you don't have to listen to this podcast to learn those things. There are so many great courses and programs. And so I'm going to give a tip. The tangible tip will be twofold. Number one, if you're a leader listening, understand how to actually facilitate and extract the core 18 or elements and themes of the core 18 out of a human, right? That is incredibly important because once you can create that safe place and that equal opportunity, I do believe that it's your responsibility to extract that because like to your point, you may have an employee that does not, for whatever reason, there's a block there, right? The brain's a very complicated thing. For whatever reason, he or she can't really communicate exactly how they're feeling. They can communicate exactly what they need, exactly what they're looking for. They need that career coach, life coach, friend, collaborator type element in moment. And so I believe at a real tangible level, at a minimum, I believe organizational leaders should be doing that on a quarterly basis, doing a check-in and literally having a 60 to 90 minute conversation, laid back, you know, coffee, lunch, brunch, whatever you want to do, and really turning into a facilitator, a coach, a friend, a confidant, if you will, and really helping them unpack that information. And then having a core 18-ish structure to kind of go off of to make sure when they're facilitating, they're driving in the right direction, extracting data, and then hand off the data to the employee.
Next, Jeff Melnick and Laurie Bennett, the founding partners of Within People, teach us how to rehumanize the workplace as leaders.
Yeah, I think, you know, a big theme for us throughout has been the humanizing of leadership, really, of starting to recognize the role of leadership, not as a seat of power inside an organization, but as a seat of empowerment, and starting to encourage leaders to be understanding the qualities that they bring to the way that they lead, rather than seeing the currency of leadership in expertise, education, a Y chromosome, your age, starting to really see it in the fundamental human qualities of creativity, vulnerability, empathy, and the way that that's brought into the workplace. And I think the one thing that the pandemic has done and the Black Lives Matter movement is, I think, put a greater emphasis than ever on the rehumanizing of the workplace as a whole and as leadership within that. It's been unavoidable, if you're a good leader, I suppose, to not see the human impact of these massive crises in the world, and not to be able to start to have noticed that the leaders that have really showed up in the face of that challenge and who have held their businesses and their people strong and have been able to emerge stronger are the ones who have been able to turn to vulnerability and empathy over a greater controlling grip on people, but actually to release the trust in their organizations to allow people to work with more freedom where they can't be seen without the traditional constraints of an office and a line manager staring over their shoulders, and to genuinely be able to step into a place of recognizing the role of leaders as being there to care and support for the people who are in their charge, rather than being there to gather control and power around themselves. And I think part of the reason why this book felt like now's the time to really get this out here is because the pandemic opened a window to that, which, I mean, frankly, we've been pushing at that window for the last 6 years. And there's been a lot of resistance inside organizations to actually stepping into giving their employees the freedom to work in certain ways and giving the trust to do that. And the pandemic necessitated it and accelerated it. So I think, well, you know, as we've seen, it's felt for a lot of businesses like through COVID, business and the world has ground to a bit of a standstill. What we've really seen is an acceleration towards more progressive, more human-centered ways of doing business and leading. And that what business needs is what leaders need is some practical support to really help them step fully into that and keep it going as the pandemic comes to a close. And that's what this book was for. And yeah, it draws on that thinking around leadership and tries to make it practical for people to use right now.
Moving on, Lisa Fain, the CEO of the Center for Mentoring Excellence, shares why she thinks mentoring should be an organizational strategy.
What mentoring is something that is a reciprocal collaborative relationship that is driven by the mentee and focused on the mentee's development of their skills, knowledge, or abilities. And so unlike coaching, right, which is, and there is a little bit of overlap between coaching and mentoring, but unlike coaching, which is more one-on-one, more driven by the coach's process, mentoring is really driven by the mentee's long-term development, and it's really co-created. So, and the reciprocity piece is huge, right? Mentor gets as much out of the relationship as mentee does. So it can be formal, it can be informal. You know, I think that it's not an or, it is an and there's places for formal mentoring relationships and informal mentoring relationships. It needn't be one-on-one, it can be in a group setting, but it's really about focus on the long-term development of the mentee in a way that's really relationship-oriented. And one of the things that we know about mentoring is, or I should say some of the things we know about mentoring is that it's great for retention, it's great for attracting talent, it's great for improving engagement, it boosts performance, it makes better leaders, and more inclusive work environments, right? Just to name a few of the benefits. So it is a great way to affect those kinds of things that we're all looking for in our work environments. Additionally, mentoring is a leadership competency. It's not always viewed as a leadership competency, but it really ought to be a leadership competency. It makes a difference for leaders to know how to mentor, whether they mentor or not, right? Obviously, it's even better when they know how to mentor, and they do. but that creates better leaders. It creates better team performance and that kind of thing as well. So I actually really try to emphasize with our organizational clients, what is it you're trying to achieve through mentoring? Because mentoring is a wonderful tool. Mentoring is a wonderful strategy. Mentoring is a wonderful competency. But what's the end that you have in mind? So that's sort of the most important thing to be thinking of. And so in the course of our conversation, I think it's important to talk about mentoring as a competency and mentoring as an entity, if you will. Maybe entity is the wrong word, but mentoring as a competency and mentoring as a strategy. I believe that all leaders should have the competency of mentoring, whether you use it in the mentoring context or not, and that all organizations should use mentoring as a strategy for those things that we want, that I mentioned before, the attraction, the recruitment, the inclusivity, and that kind of thing as well.
Lastly, we spoke with Dr. Bruno Signico, a training consultant at Human Oriented Enterprise, about why love should be part of business.
Compassion can be defined in a very simple way. First up, understanding others, understanding how they think and how they feel. Try to be empathetic with them. Try to understand this from the cognitive perspective and from the emotional perspective, but also trying to support them, to help them when possible. Now we have so many challenges during the pandemic, and we have to understand that people need more than ever support. And you see people that are a bit dismissive with employees, with customers, with business partners, with the community. And this cannot happen because we need to be together more than ever. Why compassion is so important? I want to mention a very important phrase from the famous legend Stephen Covey, that he observed that in business, everything is interdependent. No company can succeed by itself. No company can thrive on its own. Company needs suppliers, needs customers, needs employees, needs community members to succeed. And there is a principle in social psychology that we call the principle of reciprocity. When a company treats customers in a loving, in a compassionate, in a supportive way, customers tend to support this company. When a company treats employees in a supportive way, for example, paying a fair salary, recognizing their contribution, but also allowing them to perform activities that are connected to their skills and natural talents, this employee will tend to go beyond the basic activity. They will tend to, for example, work overtime. They will tend to contribute. And the same happens with other stakeholders, because I want to paraphrase a very famous thinker that observed, no man is an island. No company is an island. Companies to succeed need to rely on different stakeholders, internal and external stakeholders. So I'm a bit surprised that many companies only focus on these key performance indicators such as profitability, productivity, efficiency, that are very important, but they dismiss the relationship. The main factor, we can say the brick of the wall, the constituent factor of these business activities is the human being. No business can succeed without a human being. So when a company supports this relationship with different stakeholders, internal and external stakeholders, these key performance indicators tend to be achieved in a natural way, in an organic way. Instead, when the company only focuses on the bottom line without taking into account, for example, customers, without taking into account suppliers, without taking into account employees, community members, this company will have much more difficulties to achieve these indicators. Companies should focus on the triple bottom line, not only on the bottom line. Triple bottom lines means caring for profits, which are very important, caring for people, individual like customers, suppliers, employee, community members, and also caring for the planet, being environmentally friendly, recycling, using renewable sources of energy. This is so important and a bit counterintuitive, because many people believe that business is only for profits, but it goes beyond this responsibility of getting profit only for shareholders. Has a social responsibility, a legal responsibility, an environmental responsibility, and we don't have to consider businesses in a limited way.
And that's a wrap for today's episode. I hope you found our guests' leadership experiences and advice both insightful and practical. See you next time on the People at Work podcast. Bye for now.